Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Coffee with Source, and a huge welcome and thank you to my special guest, John Sansoni. Welcome to Coffee with Source, John.
Absolutely, Emma. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm really stoked to be on.
I'm so glad to have you. Has anyone told you before we dive in that you have the perfect radio voice?
Really? You know, I thought about being a DJ back in the day, and it was something that I had thought about. I actually spent a little bit of time writing some ad copy for a radio station when I was in college. And here's what I found out was the guy that was the DJ, the microphone was doing all the work. Like he would turn to talk to me and he had like a really weak voice and get on and be like, "Hey, this is WKRP and blah, blah, blah." And like the microphone was doing everything. So I was like,
lunch bag let down.
The microphone will do everything. Maybe they don't need my voice in radio.
Yeah. Thank you.
I was kind of being turned in a different direction, but I did think about it.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. Well, I think it would have worked out either way, but I think you're on the path that you're meant to be on. So, John, who are you?
Yeah, absolutely, Emma. So I'm an individual who has been in professional sales for 31 years here in Dallas, Texas. It's been a road of rejection, accomplishment, major success, and finding like a mental process that I really think can benefit others across the entire world. So that's kind of my inspiration and what I live for today. I've put myself where I'm pretty much debt free. I'm very far in my life. My kids are older. They're almost out on their own. And so I really, you know, want to give back to the world. And so that's kind of what this is about and why I love being interviewed on these kind of podcasts, because you can't be a motivational speaker if you have nowhere to motivate.
That's true. Well, that's amazing. And you've gathered up so much life experience that I think it's wonderful that you want to give back. Cause a lot of people would be like, nope, I'm going to, you know, sign up to the nearest golf club and country club. And that's it. I'm checking out. I did what I had to do. So I think it's really cool that you want to inspire. Tell me, you know, because the show Coffee with Source is all about, you know, spirituality, religion, having faith, awakening, trusting in a higher power, whatever it is, you know, whatever it means to whoever is listening. And that's not, you know, we're not getting into the politics of it, but I want to know, in what capacity do you believe that your faith in a higher power has helped you along the way, or, you know, given you these little ray of sunlights in life in those moments where you shared with me off air that, you know, we're feeling kind of sticky in your life, but somehow you pushed through.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, in high school, I had an epiphany. I was in high school, like everybody, I was struggling with whatever religion my parents were giving me to chew on. And, I took chemistry class and I learned about the periodic table, you know, the gaining and losing of electrons. Yep. And not everybody's taking chemistry, but when you truly understand, chemistry to any level at all. And you just have such an appreciation for the bigger mind that takes care of us and how the world works from a purely chemical standpoint. There's no doubt in my mind that this kind of system was put together by a higher power. And that into itself just made me be very, very spiritually minded. Also, you know, I kind of struggled with some anxiety when I was in high school, test taking and things like that. Lots of pressure on you to get good grades when you're in high school, because if you want to go to college, you have to get good grades. And so, you know, I went from being that kid that was primarily, you know, focused on partying, not that I was a drug user, but just focused on partying and hanging out with my friends and meeting girls and all that fun stuff.
I think we call that age appropriate, John. What would you say?
Well, there you go. But you know, some of the parents probably wouldn't have appreciated how much age appropriate stuff I did. I mean, I used to down beers listening to Jimi Hendrix right before a football game on a Friday, you know, coming into school, me and my buddies, and we'd be drinking beer before school. And I'm not condoning it at all. It was just the way I was brought up. But anyway, so So I came into the school and I just decided I needed to, you know, I needed God. Like I would be getting ready the night before a test and I'd be getting stressed out. Maybe I had three tests the next day and I'd be like, you know what? I've done all I can do. God, it's in your hands. And that's helped me so much in life. Just relying on a higher power and what God wants for me and what the higher power wants for me and putting things in his hands, still, you know, getting out there and being super focused and super ambitious of what I want,
right?
But realizing that what I get is what he wants me to have.
Yeah. And I think that's interesting because, you know, we're conditioned to believe that we need to plan every single detail and that we need to control the outcome of every situation. And I feel like a lot of imbalance in life and, you know, what causes a lot of depression and divorce and all of these things is that we put an enormous amount of pressure on the expectation that things must go the way we imagine them to go. And when they don't, we feel so let down, so defeated. We feel as though we failed. And yeah. I think that, you know, spirituality for me, trusting in a higher power, you know, is tapping into that divine timing and saying exactly what you just said. I'm gonna, you know, follow the breadcrumbs. I'm gonna do my absolute best, but I'm going to surrender the need to control the outcome because maybe something greater is waiting around the corner for me. Maybe it's something that I couldn't even imagine for myself.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I know the direction that I'm going. I know this feels right. This feels like it's in alignment with me and it speaks to my heart, but exactly where I'm going to end up, like, you know, Aerosmith says it best, right? Life's a journey, not a destination. And I think if more people would adopt that philosophy, how much better would their lives be?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Tony Robbins says this a lot, Emma. He talks about how it's not what happens to you, it's how you evaluate what happens to you. And I think that is so, so important because we have control on how we evaluate what happens to us. We don't have control of what happens to us.
Absolutely. And, you know, I read a fantastic book a while back, Michael Singer, The Untethered Soul. And, you know, the first time I listened to the book, I was like, this guy's absolute nuts. He's a whack job. And I don't know where they dug him out of, but this should be in the fiction section. And that's because I had so much armor around my heart and I wasn't ready to hear it. But the second time that I listened to it, and especially, you know, the part, and his sense of humor is great. And if you haven't read the book, I highly recommend it. Mr. Singer, if you're listening, I think you're a great guy. But it changed my life because I was open to receiving the message. And it was, you take shit so personally. It is not personal. You know, we think that everything that happens around us in life, everybody's reactions, everything that they're doing, and when it affects us, we take it so personally. But learning to become more of an observer gives us an advantage and an upper hand in really analyzing how other people are behaving and how we choose to react before we just start spewing out venom or getting anxious or, you know, acting in a way that's not in alignment with, you know, with our values. And I think that was the biggest lesson is saying when you're in the heat of the moment or when things are not going your way, just detach yourself from the situation. Remind yourself that it's not personal to you. And sort of look at it from a broader perspective.
Emma, that is so, so true. I mean, when I was younger, there was times where, you know, people could say things to me, really upset me, you know, hurt my feelings, so on and so forth. But as I've gotten older, if somebody says something mean to me, it intrigues me because I've spent so much time like understanding psychology and reading psychology and having psychology courses in college and reading over 100 biographies. So when people say something about like I have long hair now, like a rock star, I'll just mention that. And some woman said to me, it's like, you really ought to cut your hair because your wife probably wants you to cut your hair. You don't look as good with long hair.
Oh, wow.
But I've had women tell me that they love my long hair and I look like a rock star. So I'm keeping my long hair for now. So, but anyway, I thought, you know, like, what's going on with her that she's so concerned about me? Yeah. Like, it intrigues me. And I also understand the human mind condition that people want to make themselves feel better. Yeah. Some people do it with alcohol. Some people do it with smoking drugs. Some people do it with taking drugs. Some people do it with making snide comments to people that they actually like or love. And it's because it's a way to make them feel better about themselves. And that was told to me even when I was a little kid. My mom used to tell me that I'd be like, you know what? I'm getting bullied at school. This kid's making fun of me. That kid's making fun of me, blah, 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 blah. Even in corporate America, I've had people make fun of me. And those people that have made fun of me, I make more money than they do. And I've risen to a higher level in corporate America than they could ever think of. And that's not why I did it. The reason they made fun of me is they're trying to keep me down.
Of course. And that's the thing, right? Some people's light shines so bright that it blinds others and they can't recognize the light within themselves. So the only thing they can do is try to dim it.
Exactly. That's a strong comment you just made because you just literally verbalized namaste.
Yeah. And the thing is that people who have suffered, you know, from childhood trauma, there's two ways it can go. And that's either, you know, you become a people pleaser.
Yep.
Right. Or you become overly judgmental and you start to repeat the cycles of abuse that were, you know, that were brought on to you. And what's interesting is that so often the people pleasers are the ones who have, you know, the brightest light, but go on their whole lives dimming it because they're so afraid of those who are going to, you know, pass judgment onto them. And living in fear of judgment is the scariest thing. You're afraid of judgment. You're afraid of rejection. You're afraid of abandonment. And so you become a people pleaser and you become that nice person. Oh, she's so nice. Oh, he's so nice. You can ask him for anything. He'll always say yes. He's right there. But inside, the torture of not being in alignment with themselves because they just want to keep the peace.
Yep.
You know, that's devastating, but it's insane to, unfortunately, we have mm-hmm. to experience both sides. And I think, as you said, that comes with age, and you hit on a great point, because the me that I was 5 years ago always had a teardrop on the corner of her eye. Anyone would look at me the wrong way because I just wanted to make people happy and comfortable. And I wanted to be there for everyone else, no matter how poorly they treated me, because I didn't recognize my worth.
Yeah.
I think that's something that comes with age as well. You know?
Yeah.
You start to realize that, hey, I wouldn't let my best friend talk to me like that. I wouldn't let, you know, this person treat me like that. Why am I allowing you to speak to me that way?
Yeah, Emma, I mean, that's so, so true. I mean, even at my age in mid 50s, there's still people that try to cut me down. And the one thing that I would mention to your listeners is age is a part of it and working on it is a part of it. So the more you use positive affirmations and speak about yourself in a positive way. And two, like, I've gotten to the point where I break myself down to three key elements where, like, these are my three key elements that make me up me. I call it my power of three. Mm-hmm. And then two, it's so important to have a list of your 10 greatest accomplishments and post those 10 greatest accomplishments on your, you know, in front of you every day, so that when you show up for a meeting or show up anywhere in life, you're showing up on the heels of your 10 greatest accomplishments with your power of three. I teach all this in my book. And then two, moving forward, a vision list. It's so important to have a written vision list of what you're trying to accomplish. Because if you're more focused on what you're trying to accomplish, and then you're bringing on your 10 greatest accomplishments, and then just as you breathe, you know what you are, like who you are.
Who you are, the essence of you.
The essence of you, exactly. Like, I'll share the essence of me, and I want your listeners to know that the essence of me has been built upon several years. It didn't start out this way. Like if I thought of the essence of me when I was in high school, I'd probably say, you know, I was a smart ass. I was a partier and a drinker. And I was pretty much all focused on girlfriends. I mean, that was the essence of me in high school. And then at some point it turned where those were still the essence of me, but then I was motivated to get better grades in high school so I could go into college, so I could make a lot of money. So ultimately, you know, I could have a big party and enjoy myself. So that was the essence of me back then. It was very, it didn't have a lot of oomph to it, but that was the essence of me. It was very materialistic, and it wasn't like a true reason for living. But the essence of me today is that, well, I'm a motivational speaker and a professional sales guru of 31 years. That's one of the essences of me. And these aren't in any particular order. I'm a very strong family person with my current family and with my extended family. Like I keep in contact with distant cousins that are even in Italy. Wow. And all around the world. So I'm very connected to my family and very much a family person, and realize like where I come from, which is very humble beginnings, by the way. And then lastly, I'm a rock and roll historian. I've read over, 100 books on the music business. I'm highly involved in the music business in Dallas. I actually play the drums, and I'm just very knowledgeable about the history of rock and roll and all the significant things that have happened in music throughout the last 50 years. And this is the essence of me. So when somebody cuts me down, when you have that strong of an essence of yourself, then you think, what's wrong with them?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on with them? What happened to them this week? You know?
Yeah, you're able to transpose.
Yeah. So, I mean, so after I let my ego get out of the way that they just made fun of me, you know, I try and reach out to them and, hey, what's going on? Are you okay? And, you know, I might bat down the comment that they make about, you know, I should cut my hair, or I should do this, or I should do that. You know, I might even do a dampener like you do in sales. I might say something like, oh, you know what? That's a good idea. At some point I am going to cut my hair, but tell me, how was your week?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I love, yeah, there's that sales experience.
It can be used in so many ways. So my work, even though it's geared towards salespeople, it's really geared towards teaching people how to live their life more authentically and more fulfilling, because I'm all about like having fun and really enjoying life. So like if it's 10 o'clock on a Sunday night and I'm going to bed at 11 o'clock, I'm sitting there thinking, what can I do for the next hour that would be a blast?
Exactly.
Am I going to read a book? Am I going to watch, you know, a show? What am I going to do for this next hour of my life? Because we got to live in a way that we don't know when tomorrow is. Is tomorrow even promised?
That's my philosophy. And you know what? I'm going to be 38, John, on the 20th of this month. And
oh, wow. Early birthday. Congratulations.
Thank you. And you know what? I feel like I'm still waiting for, you know, the New Year's Eve ball drop. Like, okay, tomorrow morning, next week I'm going to wake up I'm gonna be 38 and I'm going to be a grown up now, because I've never fit into that mold. Right. I was, you know, 25, 26 when I brought my eldest son to kindergarten on the first day, and I was looking at all the moms and I was like, oh boy. Okay. Well, you know, I'm sure in a couple of weeks that's going to kick in, because I've always been lighthearted. I love it. I'm curious about everything. I want to know how everything works. I want to know why. I love music. I think you and I connected a lot on that. And you know, there's always music playing, and I'm always dancing while I'm cooking with a spatula in my hand. And I love to laugh at myself and,
and
other people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It makes other people uncomfortable because they're like, you know, why are you so happy? And I'm like, that's the wrong question. That's not the right question to be asking.
Like, why are you unhappy? Well, you know, and you evaluate your life as being happy. That's why you're happy.
Well, because I think people have this misconception, and tell me if you agree, especially, you know, with the experience.
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
And in corporate people, I feel, and again, just my opinion, they interpret happiness as a destination. When I have, I'm going to be happy. When I'm with him, I'm going to be happy. When I get my divorce, I'm going to be happy. And the thing is, that if you're not happy, happiness is within, but it doesn't mean that I'm, you know, pooping unicorn dust 24/7. I get affected right. by other people, but that's that fun. Innate love for life lives inside my heart, which means that throughout the day, I have many microbursts of just enormous gratitude and happiness.
Yeah, absolutely. It's little pockets of joy, right? Right? That's why you got to like, I say this a lot on my interviews, but I'm a big analogy person, Emma. And if you think of life as a party and you think of, okay, you just knocked on the door, you came into the door, the host of the party has welcomed you in, gave you your first drink. you walk over, you have a good conversation over in the kitchen. Maybe, you relate to that person over the kitchen. You come into the family room, you talk to a couple people. At some point during the night, maybe you just have this aha moment where you're like, wow, I really connected with them. They have a really interesting life story. That was a ton of fun. You walk over to the dining room, you have some good conversations. So things are just like seeming amazing. You're like, wow, this is the best party I've ever been to. And then your favorite song just plays on the on their stereo system, streaming through their stereo system. And you're like, you're flying high. And then you're in this really nice white blouse or white golf shirt, and somebody accidentally spills red salsa all over your nice white shirt that maybe cost you $70 to $80. And now you have to walk around the whole party with this red splotch all over your front. And so how do you evaluate the party? Was it all these amazing pockets of joy that you had? Maybe the nice drink that you received when you first came in, maybe your favorite song? Are you focused on that? Or are you focused on the salsa that, you know, you can make light of it and have fun with that kind of thing if you want. And that's how you, and it's how you evaluate what happens to you.
And how you react.
Yeah.
Because you react is going to bleed into everything, right? I love that analogy because you could storm off and be, you know, pissed off at the world and scream that the shirt is ruined, get in your car. Then you come home, you're pissed. You're yelling at everyone around you. You're driving like a maniac on your way home. You shouldn't drink and drive, but in my story, you're driving because you only had one cocktail and you're flipping the bird to everyone that you meet. And you're just angry and you go to bed mad and you wake up mad and you keep telling the story over and over again. And it bleeds into every aspect of your life.
Or do you rise above it? Indeed. Or can you make a joke about it? Like laughter is so important. Yeah. Like that's a big part of my motivational speaking is teaching people to learn to laugh again. And that's a part of my international comedy podcast is teaching people to learn to laugh together again. And that salsa, you could sit there and, you know, you could say, yeah, the salsa threw up on me. You know, you can make a joke about it. Or you could make fun of yourself and it's like, well, at least I didn't crack my head open. You know,
this is true.
You could play off of it and it could be a talking piece to make other people joyful at the party, or you could focus on it and let it ruin your time. And that's life. Like, you know, we're going to get sick. We're going to lose loved ones. We're going to lose jobs. We're going to gain jobs. There's going to be things that are going to happen that are going to jerk our chain our entire lives. There's always going to be things that are going to go bad. We're going to get flat tires. I hate to tell people this, but it's like one of the most powerful things that I learned one day listening to Zig Ziglar. And he said, life is difficult. And he's like, I don't know if anybody's ever told you this before, but I'm going to tell you right now, life is difficult. And if you come from a time, if you approach life knowing that life is difficult, well, now you're going to put methodologies together to make life easier for you. And he said, like, if you're unmotivated, life is going to be more extreme, much more difficult for you. So like, if you can learn to motivate yourself to be a problem solver and solve problems as you go, life will be that much easier for you. Like most people think that like procrastination is good. We attach feelings to it, so on and so forth. The bottom line is the more we're proactive about taking care of things in our own life, the happier we're going to be. Yeah. And then two, the litmus test that we give our life, the happier we're going to be. the lower bar we set for what we need to make us happy, you know, breathing and having a cup of coffee can make you happy.
That was what I was going to say next. How big of a part does gratitude play in your daily life?
You know, ongoing. And actually, I learned so much when I get interviewed on different podcasts from different people, because one person's really into health and fitness. And as soon as she interviewed me, I was like, oh, I need to start getting to the gym more. You know, I got to be honest with myself. I'm not really going to the gym as much as I should. And now you're talking about gratitude. And I'm like, wow, I should practice more gratitude.
Yeah, we had a conversation. And I think that's a great way to bring ourselves off that, you know, that high horse we sometimes get stuck on. I think Brené Brown calls it, you know, high roading, like when your car gets stuck on a cement block and you just stay there. Like you just don't know what to freaking do. You don't call a tow truck. You just sit there peeved at the world. And I think that gratitude has just a miraculous power that in one instant, no matter how big the pile of rubble that you're sitting in looks, if you can find one thing to be grateful for, even if it's like, ooh, okay, I'm in this pile of rubble, but I can still move my fingers. I'm grateful that I can move my fingers. You know, I'm going to try to move one piece of concrete off at a time. And I think that's the secret sauce right there.
You know, and you can reach a level, and I've reached this level where I can have gratitude even when bad things are happening.
Yeah, same. People think I'm crazy.
But no, it's a higher level of being. Like one example I could give you was this really dates back a long time ago, but I had a flat tire and I even did a podcast on this a couple of years ago. Somebody interviewed me and I talked about this. But I had a flat tire, and instead of focusing on the fact that I had a flat tire, I decided to enjoy the ride in the tow truck to get my tire fixed. Yeah. My tire wasn't a situation where they could have just like changed my tire. I mean, it was really messed up. So it had to be towed to a shop and have it repaired, what have you. But I enjoyed the ride in the tow truck and I was focused on the ride in the tow truck and getting to know the tow truck driver and that kind of thing. And I was focused on that more so than the fact that I had a bad thing happen to me. And then more recently this summer, I went out boating, and the boat casing in the engine of the boat that I was in, I belong to a boat club. So you get a different boat, like every time you go out. I don't know what was wrong with it, but the boat stranded me in the middle of the lake.
Oh no.
It was a beautiful day. I put the anchor down. I called the dock to have them come out and get me. And I was with a friend of mine's, one of my wife's best friends. And we were out there and I decided, you know what? I got my sunglasses on. I actually got a picture of me out on Facebook enjoying that time because I wasn't focused on the fact that the boat was stranded out there, because I was pretty sure I did nothing wrong. What I was really focused on was, well, you know what? I wanted to be out on the lake today.
Exactly. It's
a beautiful day. I got my sunglasses on. I'm getting some sun. I got my coffee in my hand. I was focused on that. I was like, I'm still out on the lake. True, I have a problem. But at some point I'll be able to turn this around and use this on a podcast, you know? So like,
I really believe in divine intervention. So when things like that happen, you know, fire, nothing that will injure you, but that'll slow you down. I've learned not to question that and kind of be like, there's a rhyme and reason for everything. You know, there's a lesson, message, and gift. So whether it was for you to just slow down for a minute and enjoy the sun and have a good conversation, or, you know, your spirit team is just there just saying, let me slow down for a sec. You don't want to rush right now. There's something else going on. Tell me, John, we have a couple of minutes left.
Yeah, absolutely, Emma.
I want you to tell our listeners, please, you know, about your book, where they can get it, your website, how they can get a hold of you, all that jazz.
Yeah, absolutely. So my book is really the framework of mental mindset to help people be successful, whether they're in sales or they're just trying to be successful. It's all about mental mindset. It's only 90 pages, but it's a book that you can read over and over again. It's only $10. So it's very, very inexpensive. And it's literally the wisdom that I've learned from being in business for over 31 years and being extremely successful. So that's my book. I also have a course on Teachable called Sales Warrior Module 1. It's 7 hours of video, audio, and instruction from me, and more importantly, inspiration with worksheets and things like that. So the actionable items that I teach in my book, you can actually provide the action on those actionable items to really embrace the information, because reading's great, but really getting in there and doing is where you're going to get the most out of my work. And then my inspirational comedy podcast is out on YouTube. It's called School's Out 80s Comedy Storytime. It's wonderful. We've interviewed a gentleman who used to tour with Ozzy Osbourne. We interviewed a gentleman who used to write jokes for Rodney Dangerfield, Robin Williams. We also are going to be interviewing an individual who helped produce and actually did all the financial production for Bill and Ted's newest movie that's out on, I believe, Amazon or Netflix or one of those. So this is my work. The way to reach me is saleswarriorinspire.com. Everything that I just mentioned is available out there. And in my course, if you mention Emma's podcast, if you buy my course and you mention Emma's podcast, I'll give you $100 off my course.
Wow, that's phenomenal. I had no idea you were doing that. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, I know. Absolutely. I mean,
what a great surprise. Really,
yeah, really, really trying to give back. I would just encourage people to work on themselves. Like, who I am today and who Emma is today didn't happen magically. No. It's based upon, you know, working on yourself. If you've ever seen a home built from scratch, you see that first they lay the foundation, then they frame the house, then they start actually, putting in all the rooms and everything like that. And your life is the same way. You have to have a foundation, which is your spiritual foundation. You have to frame the house, which is your plan for your life. And then the things that you do in your life to really get a lot out of life is what you're putting in those rooms.
I love it. I'm so grateful to have met you. We crossed paths for a reason. You're incredibly inspiring. And I would love awesome. to have you back on the show, and we can, you know, dive deep into what it is to have an efficient and optimal mental mindset. I'd love to go deeper into that with you at some point in time. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you for providing the platform, and cheers to everybody. Have a wonderful and spiritual day.
Have a blessed day, John. Thank you.
Hey, you too, Emma. Thank you.